Good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday, January 24th, 2017, 1:12, coming up on 1:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Joined in studio today by Terry Tackett. Hopefully we'll have Jim Blessing, President Harding's grandson, any moment. Then we'll spend the rest of the time with Terry here and you on the toll-free line at 740-383-9944. Terry, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Scott, how you doing?
Oh, it's very good, and what a very interesting revelation. Revelating hour there, yeah. With Jim Robinault.
He's very good. Yeah, so some very good information. I mean, he answered a lot of questions that I had. So,
well, what did you take away from that interview with Jim Robinault regarding the Trump administration as opposed to the Nixon administration and just everything going on in the world?
Well, the first thing, it's probably off the beaten path a little bit about what we're talking about, but the first thing I gathered is that we actually, and I think you've been stressing this, we should really take this serious about Russia, you know, hack, because the way Jim, it's definitely something very important that you should.
And I'm not sure why that's anti-Trump to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody did that, if Hillary had done that, if Obama had done that, if George W. Bush had done that, I think we should at least pay attention to it. And I thought it was very interesting that Jim Robinault, who has investigated Richard Nixon's papers, has investigated Warren Harding, has done things with ethics as a lawyer, said he felt there was a better than 50% chance just on what we know.
Right.
And we don't even know what the Senate and the Congress and the CIA know
that
something went on.
Just based on that information alone, that there was more than, I mean, if something is more than a 50% chance, you know, I think it's worthy of definitely being.
Well, because I think at some point we are a country of laws.
Sure.
And I think whether you voted for Hillary or you voted for Trump or you like what Trump's doing or you like what Hillary did or said, this is not about that.
Right.
This is about something that went down.
This is about an integrity and you know, and legality, you know, and just and everything.
Well, you know what? Here's the bipartisan nature of this country, which scares me, because for people who weren't alive or maybe don't remember, Richard Nixon resigned from office and was pardoned from any criminal charges because essentially he tried to cover up a break-in that people had done from the Republican campaign to derail George McGovern and the Democrats' campaign against him in the 1970s. Now, I don't remember when Richard Nixon was being investigated, which again ultimately led to him resigning. I don't remember people saying, well, it's just because McGovern didn't know what he was doing. it's not about McGovern.
Right.
McGovern didn't do anything wrong in regard to the campaign. McGovern didn't have people breaking into Republican headquarters. But the Republican campaign did have people breaking into Democratic headquarters, and that's the difference.
It's like kind of like Robinault said. It's not ethical to do something like that. It's not, you know, it's not, you know, there's, you have to have integrity, you know, I mean, the integrity, you lose the integrity, you lose, you know, of course, there's some legal ramification, I mean, just everything.
You would think, and again, that's why I say, I don't understand why this has even become an issue, because Hillary Clinton is not going to be the president.
No.
And the Democrats are not going to get it back. A matter of fact, if something happened to Trump, Mike Pence would most likely become president.
Sure.
And if he was involved, Paul Ryan would become president.
Yep.
Or if somebody was appointed in vice presidential, like Gerald Ford was.
Something, yeah.
So I don't know why this is a Democratic-Republican issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is a legal and illegal issue.
Yeah. Basically a right and wrong issue, you know. I mean, what was it, you know, or like you said too, was it legal? I mean, was it legal? Was there some legal ramification? Is there some legal ramifications behind this? I mean, why? What was, you know, what could come about of this, you know?
Well, that investigation is going to come about very shortly. I think after the confirmation hearings are done, then I think they get down to business.
That was the only thing I was wondering if, but obviously he may not have known, is if he could put a time frame on when he thought, you know, that they were going to.
I think that's actually how that's all going to go down, and when it does, it'll be very, very fascinating, to say the least. Now, we are going to take a quick break here, see if we can catch up with Jim Blessing,
sure.
President Harding's grandson, and we'll be right back with more program. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like...
the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And we're still trying to make contact with Jim Blessing here, and we will try to do that as the day goes on. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 19 minutes past the hour, Scott Spears along with Terry Tackett. Well, Terry, it was very interesting with Jim Robinald, and hopefully we get some feedback from the people who heard it, maybe listening out there in listener land.
Well, Scott, yeah, you're right. But, Scott, before we go any further, I just wanted to say something here about the station, if I could.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
Just a little project I've been working on is I compiled some personal data the other day that I came up with, and I think that you know, with all my data that I got, that I think that WWGH is the most listened to LPFM station in Marion.
Most listened to LPFM station.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how did you do that?
Well, it's kind of a complex formula, but I kind of
you went out on your own,
yeah,
in your own free time,
mm-hmm,
and compiled information.
Yeah.
And based upon that,
I based it on some, you know, some calls and things and stuff like that, and
you've basically come up with your opinion that
in my opinion, yeah.
Okay, and I think this is actually our call.
Is this your call? Okay,
so we'll come
back.
I'm
sorry, I'll get off. I'm sorry.
So we'll come back to that. We're going to come back to that before the hour is up. We continue here on WWGH Radio this morning, and as many of you know, just a short 5 days ago, we elected a new president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. But as many of you know, Marion, Ohio, has some presidential history of its own, as we are the home of President Warren G. Harding. We have the home and we have the memorial. He is buried here and soon to have a museum coming up in 2020, the Harding Center, I believe is what it's called. So to get thoughts on the new president, Donald J. Trump, I thought we'd check in with somebody who's become a good friend of this program. And 2 or 3 years ago, we could not have even said this, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Jim, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Hey, good to hear from you. What have you been up to, Jim?
Nothing special, just the same old stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, sounds good. I just, being with your presidential history with your grandfather, what do you make of our new president?
Well, as you know, I like it. I'm kind of a Trump fan, and I'm hoping that he does what he says he's going to do and what we need to get done.
Does anything give you pause with this president as far as accusations of Russian hacking during the election, or that he has not released his tax returns yet, or over the weekend, kind of the untrue things, or as Kellyanne Conway put it, alternative facts that he relayed toward size of the crowds at the election?
You know, not really. You know, it's gotten so bad with everything, with all the news, and you you know, it's kind of funny. The other day I went to the store and I was standing in line and I looked at the National Enquirer and I'm thinking, can you imagine that some of us are probably looking at that and believing that over some of the news? I mean, this is how bad it's gotten. So yeah. I just kind of take it with a grain of salt, and I don't, it's either going to be what it is or it isn't, and I'm hoping that it'll be what I'm hoping it's going to be. I will say one thing, that we have not seen anybody hit the ground running like this guy has, so I'm really hoping. I've preached this for a long time. We need a businessman in there. We need somebody that is going to do something for the people, and being older, I kind of understand a lot of this, because you get older and you realize I'm coming to a point, and what have I done, and what should I do, and so I kind of think that he may look at it like this. He's gotten a good life out of this country, and maybe this is part of his paying it back.
Something interesting, Jim. Your father, our grandfather, unfortunately, and we think it's unfortunate as well, in some lists of presidents, is rated the worst, unfortunately,
right,
in some of those lists. But time has helped that a little bit. At the time,
right,
he passed away in office, because people did not let it lay. People did not think of it as the past. Matter of fact, finding his family, his daughter and grandson, came because people almost 100 years later were still looking into that. Do you think that people should just look past what is going on with Trump, that we should just not look into the Russian hacking, that we should not look into his tax return, that we should not look into what his life was like before the election and see if he had any entanglements with foreign governments?
I don't know. See, I'm a mix. I'm a conservative liberal, and I have a lot of liberal views, I'm a lot of conservative, but I think that everybody just dives. I'm really getting tired of the whining and the crying by everybody. It's what it is what it is, and this is what life is, and we get dealt it, and you deal with it. And I think that they should look into a few things and kind of look at them, but I don't think we should be totally focusing on all this, taking away from what can happen. We have a great opportunity here. If things get done that what he said he wants to do, this is something this country's needed for a long time. I mean, I think that this is great, and I think if he really does go for the people, he's doing a lot of things that if I was to become president, I would say and do too. I feel that we've lost this country as our people, and we have no control over anything, and I think it's time, and something needed to happen, because I felt we were really heading downhill quick, and I just think it's great. But I think that you might want to look at some of this, but I don't think we should just keep harping on that. Why don't we give it an opportunity and see where it goes? Everybody could be happy. The one thing about this is that if he does what he says he's going to do, and I'll make my prediction that there's going to be a lot of people that we're realizing what's going to happen. If he does, everything happens the way he plans on unfolding it, there's going to be people taking a hard look at a lot of our recent past presidents, wondering why no one could do anything this whole time. And he's stepping up and doing everything and trying to get everything back in order. And no one else, everybody else, has kind of sat on the couch and let it go by. You know, all these other presidents have really not pushed for any of this. And I think there's really no reason why half this stuff couldn't have been done a long time ago. So I'm just hoping, and I just think, you know, and I think about my grandfather a lot with him, because they kind of remind myself of each other. They kind of have similar things, and I just feel that my grandfather got a bum ride too, and I think just kind of let it go and see what happens. And, you know, it would be nice if everybody came together and just pushed for the right, the same thing, you know.
Being, like I said, and heaven knows we sit here in Marion and we like President Harding, to say the least. Station's named for
right.
him here. But,
right.
Like I said, he does rate on the bottom of those national lists. Being that
right.
you feel there are similarities between he and Donald Trump, do you think that when Donald Trump is done, he will rate low as well?
I don't think so. I think that we're all going to be really surprised. I think that this is going to work out great. And I mean, I could be wrong, just like the other half could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think that people have been waiting a long time for this, you know, and if you think about it, you talk to people and everybody says, what are we going to, we need this, we need to change this, we need to do this. And now we have someone that's actually up there saying he's going to do it and has already showed that he's going to try to do it. So we should just, you know, get behind him and see if we can do it. And if not, then we're right back to square one. And, you know, it's what it is, you know. But I think we're going to be surprised. I think you guys will all be surprised, and I think that he'll come through with this. And but, you know, you've got to realize that here's a guy that actually wants to try to do something, and I believe him. I feel that he's sincere and wants to do this. He's got a great family behind him. He's done a great job with his family. He's done a great job with his business. Everybody has problems. Things happen to everybody in their life. Everybody has got it. There's a story behind the story of every story, and everybody's got problems in their life and have things they deal with. And so you're not going to find the perfect person. So, you know, I just think that we should get on board and try to work towards the same goal, because we're all headed to the same place. We all end up the same place. And this is our country. We should be proud of it and take a shot at trying to change it and getting the way it was. Because you can't, Republican, Democrat, liberal, whatever, you can't say that things have been going great. You have to admit that there's been problems along the way and that we've lost control of our country and whatever. So we need to get some help, and I think we need help in other countries and dealing with other countries. We need to bring business. Everybody knows that. You need to bring need to produce things. We used to be this country that everybody looked up to us, and I think we've lost that, and I think that's really important. So,
Jim, there was something I wanted to ask you, because I believe you made your prediction that Trump would win, and you supported Trump before the debates. I believe we had that conversation
right
before the debates. And
right,
there was something I wanted to ask you, and it just popped back in my mind, because of talking about the similarities between President Harding and President Trump that you feel exist there. And I think you would be the one who could make that judgment, being his grandson. But during the second debate, when Donald Trump brought Bill Clinton's mistresses to the debate and sat them in the audience.
Right.
There is a parallel there. Your
right
grandmother was ridiculed wrongly, and I have no
right
problem saying that. We've talked about that in private. Absolutely
right
ridiculed wrongly for so many years as a liar for writing this book, so on and so forth. We
right
also know that Carrie Phillips had extracurricular activity with President Harding while he was married, as
right
did your grandmother. Do
mm-hmm
you think that Trump should have brought his mistresses, Clinton's, to that debate?
You know, I think what why it happened and why half the stuff that happens now is because, and you have to look at this. I tell this to people I talk to just sitting at the store if somebody brings it up. This guy has been beat. I mean, look at yourself in your own personal life. If someone was beating on you like we did to him and like everybody did and the news did to him, and how would you deal with that? See, and I kind of laugh about it because I'm like him, and I want to tell people, if it was me, I'd be knocking on the people's front doors. I mean, these guys have belittled him and put him down and called him everything and just made such a mockery of everything, and he wasn't going to amount to anything, and he was this, and I wouldn't take it either. I would do basically what he's doing. He's fighting back. And there's nothing wrong with that. He needs to stand up for himself and show that he's a strong person. So I don't know on that. I mean, they did the same thing to him, though. They brought out stuff about him. They brought out the thing about talking about the women. They did this. So he's really trying to just keep his head above the water. And the thing is that the news, no matter, slice it, dice in any way you want, they were all for Clinton and pushing her, and they were berating him and trying to put her on top, and it was very unfair. So he did what he had to do to survive, and it's no different. They would have done the same to him. They were just as brutal, if not worse. So
well,
I don't know how to answer that.
Well,
I don't know.
Jim, I guess the difference, and just an honest question here, I guess the difference would be, I think you're right. I think he did get a lot of bad press coverage. I don't disagree with that one bit. And he did have affairs, admitted by himself, married three
right
times, and life happens,
right,
and that's the way it goes.
Right.
The difference was, to me, and I think to a lot of other people, was these were not Hillary Clinton's mistresses. That's who
right
he was running against. He was running
right
against Hillary Clinton.
Right.
These were her husband's mistresses.
Right.
This is like putting Florence Harding on stage and having Nan Britton and Carrie Phillips come sit in the audience with President Harding. That's essentially what it was.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But then again, you have to understand, when you're married and you're married this long, especially when you're in public life and you're out there working off of each other. She is an extension of him, and he's an extension of her. They're both one entity. They're both supposed to be there backing each other. And I'll tell you, years ago, when all of this came out with her and all these things, and she knocked her down and called her names and said it was a lie and did all this to her to disgrace her when it came public and all this stuff, and she allowed this to go on, I lost a lot of, and back then I didn't care. I really didn't care about any of this stuff, but I lost so much respect for her. And I remember talking with some of my friends and telling them, she's not even standing up for herself. She allowed him to keep doing this to her over and over and over again and never stood up for herself. And I just find that so strange that she would not stand up and say. So to me, the power factor and the control and running things and being who she wanted to be was more important than her self-respect and the fact that she would stand up for herself and say, you know, you can't do this to me. Goodbye. Or you can't do this to me and humiliate me in public and allow this to still go on. It says a lot about her character as her as a person and what was important in her life. And it was more important to her to have the power and control and run things than it was to have some sort of self-esteem, some sort of love for yourself. She just allowed him to keep doing this in public, and I just find that so hard to accept. Back then, I mean, and like I said, it wasn't a big deal to me back then.
But. You know, Jim, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but this is interesting after coming off of that answer. Do you think Florence Harding knew about Nan Britton and Carrie Phillips?
If my grandmother knew?
No, if Florence Harding knew about them. Do you think that Florence Harding, President...
Oh, Florence.
Yeah, did she know about Nan Britton and Carrie Phillips as Hillary knew about Bill Clinton's transgressions?
Right. Well, she had my grandmother investigated.
Right, so, okay.
She had someone following her.
And
actually, my grandmother had told me her apartment was broken into, and they went through all the stuff looking for papers and things to tie the whole thing together.
Oh, that's it. I don't think we've ever talked, because I don't think I've ever asked you this question. What is your opinion on Florence Harding?
Well, you know, see, I kind of put all of my stuff together by what my grandmother said when I was growing up. And my grandmother originally had always stuck by the fact that he really never wanted to go as far as he went. This was more her pushing him into this position, pushing him to do this. And, of course, you know, he's a male and the ego takes over and he wants to do it. He probably wanted to do it, but he wasn't, this wasn't his main drive to do this and become president as much as it was for her. And so I kind of think the same thing. I think that, and I talked to this, Peter and Harding and I talk about this all the time, and she was, it was a different relationship with them. It wasn't a true love. It wasn't a intimate love or anything like that. And I think that he was just so lost and so lonely and looking for someone. And my grandmother fit the bill perfect, you know. And she loved him so much, she knew that, and... So I don't know. I think about her, and I have sympathy for everybody. I can watch someone do something terrible, and I still feel bad for the family around them and whatever. So it's hard. I understand what it must have been like for her. But then again, you know, I personally feel that she probably poisoned them. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Really? Well, what leads you to that conclusion that so you believe your grandfather was murdered?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think that there was some, well, there's been speculation about that forever, and my grandmother kind of felt that way, too. And I did actually get a letter from a lady not too long ago that said that her mother, her grandmother, someone was real close with them and was a part of their life, and had said to her one time when it happened, She said to her, she always said, "Dead men don't tell no tales," and that kind of threw me off. I thought that was pretty interesting.
So you believe
someone else would do that? Well, you know, it kind of made sense if you really sit down and think about it. And what we see nowadays with the way things happen and whatever, you know, it was really no different then. And I just feel that she thought, and there's so much to it, because he had told my grandmother that he was going to put her in the will and take care of my my mom. And he had met someone on the train when they were on there. They stopped and met with his attorney, and it was a private session. And I think that probably there was somewhere along the line that this was going to be done and it was going to be put in there. And it kind of ties with them burning all the papers and them going through the all of his personal papers right away and burning everything. So I just kind of feel that there's a possibility of it, because it just, and, you know, no autopsy, getting rid of the body right away. It just kind of, I don't know if it sounds stupid, but, it, you know, it
no,
just kind of makes sense.
Jim, you sound fine, and I just, so we don't misrepresent what you said, I want to clear that up. Do you or do you not think that Florence Harding poisoned your grandfather?
I think there's a possibility of it.
So more than likely.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's just my opinion, and that's just from when I talked to my grandmother. She felt it, and I've done enough reading up on it and things. And then what I did is I just kind of tied stuff together, and I just kind of looked at it, and it makes kind of sense that, you know, why would she go right away, not let him be seen? She'd pull all the papers out and burn them. You know, obviously they were looking for something. They wanted to make sure there was nothing in there about it. So, you know, it just kind of makes sense. I don't know.
Well,
I just kind of...
Well, I guess my follow-up would be then, thinking that, what is your opinion, just period, flat out? If you had to describe the woman, and you didn't know her, but based on what you know, how would you describe Florence Harding? What is President Harding's grandchild's feeling about his only wife?
I felt that she was demanding, controlling, and I think she pushed him hard and didn't, you know, there's so much. I mean, I just keep reading up on stuff and talking to people, and I just feel that she was cold, and I don't think there was a true relationship there, and I don't think I think it was a loveless relationship, I'll put it that way.
And just to tie that all together in the end, how much blame, because I really don't think you can ever blame the, people do, but I think it's kind of hard to blame the mistress or whatever they call the male who is involved with a married person, but President Harding could have got a divorce. It was a different relationship. He could have done it, just as Bill Clinton could have gotten a divorce. Hillary Clinton could have gotten a divorce. Florence Harding could have.
But they're in a different situation than the average male.
Exactly. So
right.
How much do you put as much blame on President... Well, let me just ask it flat out this way. How much blame do you put on President Harding for letting that go on?
What, with my grandmother?
Yeah, for not leaving his wife, letting that relationship go on.
Well, I put blame on him because I think that he should have not worried about the situation or what it would have done to him politically and everything else. I just feel that, look, your whole life is choices. All the choices you make are going to put you where you are in your life, and... and I understand what he probably went through, and I mean, it must have been awful for him to be in that situation. And that, but then again, if you think about it, just think if you're in a loveless relationship and you're just craving love. And after reading his letters and finding out what kind of person, it kind of explains a lot. He was a very loving and romantic person and stuff, and he was not getting that at all at home. And I just feel that I've been here, so I understand their story completely, more than you even can imagine. And I've kind of lived it and done it, and I understand it completely. But I don't exonerate him. I don't say it was okay. I'm big on the marriage. I was with my wife for 27 years, and it just finally came to an end, and I've always preached that, but there are situations, there are things that happen, and, you know, it's just these serial guys that go out and do it, and they're just doing it for a thrill is one thing. But when you meet someone and it really hits with you, It's hard to understand it.
Well, Jim, as I've always said, and like I say, I have appreciated greatly our conversations, and I hope they continue on. And I can't wait till you do come to Marion, and we can meet up and do so. I'm excited for that. But again, I just want to, because I truly believe, as his grandson, that you were pushed under the rug for a long time. I do think your grandmother was demonized. I have told you this, and I believe it. So that's why when I ask you these things, I ask you them because I do believe that you're the person who should have an opinion. So I just want to ask again so nobody can misrepresent this interview, and I'm just going to ask it again. Do you believe Florence Harding was essentially a murderer?
Well, I don't know. I think it was more out of a, I don't know. You know, I don't know what happened 100 years ago. You know what it is? As I look at it, I remember my grandmother talking about it, and now what I do now is I go on every so often and I just read things, and I study and try to find out what was going on. And you know, you never know because those people aren't there to ask anymore.
Well, not factual, but in your opinion.
No, I know, but that's what I'm talking about. I'm getting to that. I want to not think that way, but if you look at it, and we've all watched a million shows and watched how this happens. We watch the news where the husband kills the wife and she cries forever, but we find out it's him. It always ends up being him or his wife doing him or whatever, and I just put stuff together. I guess that's really what I did, and I thought about what my grandmother had said. I read a bunch of stuff, and then I look at this, and it makes no sense that she would go right after he died and go straight over and start burning papers and going through everything and get rid of everything, the evidence, cremating the body, and all of this stuff, when that's something you don't do to a president. You don't get rid of the papers for a president. That's a big no-no.
Well, and Jim, the reason it's important, I think, and it has been, I mean, you're not the first person to raise these questions, but I think the reason is important because when you're a president, it's the difference between died in office and assassination. And that is a part of history.
Of course, yeah. And I don't think she would have ever looked at it like that. I think she looked at it as saving face, too. It's also a fact that, you know, if he had come out and it got out that he actually put her in the will or dedicated the money for her, which he was promising her to do. He kept telling her, I'm going to do it. And when he went on this trip, he promised her, I am going to do this. I'm going to meet and put you in there, and this will be taken care of. And so all of a sudden, this is the trip where something happens to him, and he did meet with his attorney on the train, and they had a private session. So who knows? So, and she's looking at it like, if this comes out in public, it makes her even look worse, and it's not good for her. And so she does it out of, I don't know, not passion, but she does it out of trying to protect herself or whatever. And I don't know. It just seems kind of weird to me. I kind of analyzed stuff, and I looked at what the facts were, and the facts are, you know, she got rid of the body right away. Nobody does. You can't do that.
Well, your grandmother was around at the time when this happened, and she believed, not to put words here, I think this is what you said, that she believed President Harding was murdered by his wife.
Right. Oh, she thought he poisoned him.
Oh, okay.
You have to understand, my grandmother loved him to like no other love. She just worshipped the ground he walked on. I mean, she had worshipped the ground he walked on since he was a little girl. She never got rid of that feeling. She talked about him forever. That's all she talked about. And I told you this before, she would have the biggest smile on her face when she would talk about him. You could just see the love for him ooze out of her. And she talked about what a great man he was and how much everyone respected him. And, you know, that's the one thing about him. He's rated one of the lowest prisoners, but everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. I mean, they lined the streets for miles when he died. And then seeing that this is what I'm getting at with everything, and then at the end, they brutalized him in the papers and said all this stuff, and he really knew about none of this. Even my grandmother would say that he had no idea this stuff was going on. That's not what he was about.
He was
for the people.
Well, and just to, and I don't mean this to sound facetious, because it is factual, when you say everybody loved him, I mean, he was the first president that was elected by women. That was the first election women had the right to vote. So women loved him.
Right. Yeah. He had the support of women. That's the whole thing. And he cared about women. He was the first one to go into a black state. And I mean, he loved everybody. My grandmother will tell you, he wanted to help everyone and do the right thing for everyone and cared about everybody. And it's funny. And then they see, and after he's gone, they just brutalize him. They just tear him apart and make it look like everything. And then again, it's the people that he appointed. And then if you look it up, half those appointees were pushed on him by his wife.
It's very interesting. It isn't, and like I say, Jim, I cannot wait for the day you come here, and I hope this is one of your first stops, and we can go around. And
I'm planning on it. I'm trying to put it together right now. So
perfect.
I want to get there and kind of talk. And actually, I was gonna. I shouldn't tell you on phone, but on this, but I'll tell you in private if you call me sometime.
Okay. I will do that. I look forward to it. I think it's going to be a big event, certainly for us, and we'll get you on the radio here, and I think getting your reaction first time down to the memorial, which is less than a mile from here, and over to the home, and it's going to be a good time, and I think it really is 100 years in the making here, because we're getting pretty close to the 100-year anniversary. It's definitely, and Jim, I always say, I'm forever in your blessing, because I really do enjoy talking to you no matter the topic, and I thank you for coming on today. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, yeah, thank you, and Scott. Call me.
I will do that.
I keep asking you to call, but you need to call me.
I will. So. I will give you a call tonight, this evening.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay. All Bye-bye. Right. Thank you very much.
The grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
Well.
Wow, some interesting facts there.
That started out about what are your thoughts on President Trump, and then we get what we got.
We get the blockbuster dropped on us there.
And I'm not even going to repeat what he said, so I hope you were listening out there.
Yeah, man.
So there you go.
What accusation the grand,
I wonder what he wants to tell me tonight. I feel like Woodward and Bernstein now tonight. I'll get this mysterious phone call.
Or
and
Paul Harvey, the rest. Of the story.
What a fun story that is, though. That's, you know, in my history of doing stories here in Marion, I love doing the celebrities and things. Yeah. But this whole Harding's grandson thing, doing the first interview with him has been one of the most fun things.
This thing's going to be awesome when he comes to town, man. I think this is going to be an epic moment, I think.
Well, any thoughts on Trump or Warren Harding's grandson, Jim Blessing, 740-383-9944. We got about 10 minutes left. 740-383-9944. But, Terry, you were saying something before Jim came in there.
I was just saying that, you know, over the last 3 or 4 weeks here, I've compiled some personal data, and I just, from everything I've gotten, I just think that we're the most, you know, the most listened to LPFM station here in Marion. So, you know, with all the, I've taken into account some, you know, the phone calls and things we take and stuff like that, and I've devised a formula, and based on that formula, then I think that.
Well, we appreciate that. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, it's good to hear that you're the most listened to.
Yeah, thank you. It's getting around. Private data.
You know, a couple but seemingly minor things that didn't make big headlines or anything that I thought showed how small some of these Trump haters are. One of them had to do with this Saturday Night Live writer.
That was horrible. That. Horrible, horrible. Made fun of Trump's son.
Makes fun of a 10-year-old kid.
That was dirty.
What kind of a damn jerk does that?
And did you see who came to Trump's defense, Barron Trump's defense?
No, I didn't.
Chelsea Clinton.
Good.
Yep.
And I'm sure Obama and his kids, those kids are not to be a target.
No, it's anybody under the age of 18 should not be a target.
Another one that I thought was really out of line. People were criticizing his daughter for riding to the inaugural ball because she is a Jew. And consequently, for the strictest of the groups, you cannot, you have to walk everywhere between twilight or the evening of Friday and until the evening of Saturday. You're not allowed to take any sort of a trip. Well, my God, her father has become president, and it's not right for her to take a car to that. These people are so in their pure hatred, and They call themselves the love people. They are as rotten and hateful as anyone.
Well, the two things you said there, of course, I don't think anybody in their right mind would agree with. Both of those things are just off the beam. And I think as much as the other side complains when Donald Trump says things that are not true, like Saturday night, worrying about crowd size on your first day of the job, I think it's the same type of thing. It's just... Why?
Well, he also said he lost the popular vote because the illegal immigrants.
Illegal immigrants. It's just it's stupid stuff, and it's
again he just has no sense much
right.
of the time.
And the people who did that to Barron Trump and Ivanka have no sense either. I put them right in the same boat.
Yeah,
I think.
And then there's much a hater. They're hurting their own. What they supposedly went out and walked for.
Yeah, it was. But you know what I think the problem is? I think what you just said is the problem. And I think it's the problem on Trump's end, too. 2.9 million people walked in that march. It's the biggest march in the United States history, period. 2.9 million people. The SNL writer, that strictly came from one person. And the people who were criticizing Ivanka was a very small minority of 2.9 million people. And I think it's unfortunate that the whole thing is characterized as that from two small people. And I hope that doesn't happen. As much as I hope that what Trump is doing by meeting with these business people and being at the White House and doing work and trying to do what he thinks is best is also not characterized with what his press secretary did with alternative facts or saying what he said about illegal immigrants, does not overshadow the good things he does. And I hope it, same thing with the marchers. I hope that the good things that those 2.9 million people marched for, because I don't, there's a character, you said it last week, but I also heard it on television from one of the Trump supporters get on and say, well, these people need jobs. Those 2.9 million people had jobs, and certainly the celebrities there had jobs. This was not a thing about jobs. This was a thing about going out and protesting, and I think characterizing Trump in that way, and I think characterizing these protesters in that way is something we should not try to do. I think we need to point out when they do stupid things, like criticize Barron Trump or make crowd size remarks when you can clearly see the crowd was not what it was. Mm-hmm. But,
it was one of the largest crowds other than the Obama crowd.
Yeah,
it was larger than Reagan's crowd.
But you know what? Do you think back in Reagan's day or Clinton's day?
Basically, I don't think it matters in the least.
No, and that's...
It's like legacies.
That's...
Well, legacies don't mean...
Well, that's the question. It doesn't matter. The election crowd doesn't matter, but why does it matter to him?
He's 70 years old, and I think he's starting to show it.
Well, I hope not, because he just got the job.
I know. But he is... he's sort of coming through on some of his promises. In other words, he is immediately... making decisions and throwing proposals out there and such. He's not sitting on his hands.
No, but you know the problem is, and I don't, like I just said a second ago, I think praise him for the good things he's doing. He's doing work. He did go right to work without what question. But his first day, he ruined it by sending his press secretary out there to lie, going to the CIA and lying in front of a wall.
What's more important, what he's doing or the other silly nonsense?
What he's doing, but the problem is he does it. That's the problem. It's just like President Bush. I remember a few years ago when President Bush had the shoe thrown at him. Now, if people didn't report on that, they'd say you're covering it up that foreign countries dislike him. So you got to report on it. And Trump drives that news cycle. When you send the press secretary out there and the press secretary lies on verifiable facts, that is a story. If the press secretary had come out there and told the truth, that wouldn't have been a story. But Donald Trump is his own worst enemy because that became the story. Well, just like this morning, he was doing good things. He was meeting with Silicon Valley. He was meeting with the auto industry. He was meeting with business people. But then what does he do in those meetings? He turns around and says he would have had more votes because of the illegal immigrants. Why is he bringing that up? Stop it, that.
It's minutia. You shouldn't even mention it.
Right. Stop it, Donald. Yeah. Stop saying that stuff.
Keep doing the work that you're
and
doing.
And we'll talk about your work.
The press feels free to say what they want.
Pundits feel.
He has the same right.
Pundits feel free to say what they want.
Do presidents have a right to say what they feel?
They do, just like press people and face the consequences. And that's what he's facing, is the consequences that his good work is going to be overshadowed.
So now,
his good work is going to be overshadowed by his stupidity.
Shorty even mentioned it last week. He's getting sick and tired of these protests all over the place.
Well, Charlie,
It's for people 80 and over, but... We're sick of this nonsense.
Well, you two might
let
be.
Let's get about making changes, helping people.
Well, hold on a second here, because I want to get this in. You two might be, and you are entitled to that right. 2.9 million people were not, and they're entitled to that right.
Again, I don't think they're accomplishing anything other than 80 million people that may feel that many of the things they're protesting about, they're correct in.
That's
when you
fine.
Make such a big deal out of it.
You can't. 2.9 million people protest in Washington, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Seattle. You can't not cover that if you're the media.
600 some million people protested the present conditions. Those are the ones that voted Trump in.
Protested the what?
The present, the previous conditions. These are the people that voted for Trump. They didn't like the way their lives were going.
Right. Now, what about the 3 million more that voted for Hillary? So did they really care what he thought?
Those are the coast people. The coast people don't have any real feel for what goes on in the middle of the U.S.
The coast people aren't in the United States?
The coast people aren't in the right minds half the time.
Well, see, here's the problem. This is why we stay divided in this country. Because we are trying to divide. We're saying that New York and California don't matter. We're saying that, like, how many times have I heard people say, the popular vote doesn't matter. It's the electoral vote that makes the president. Yes, that's
because
fact.
That's the rules of that game.
But then you can't turn around and say that the people who voted for Trump give him a mandate, because that's how many people voted for him, 600 million, because 3 million more voted for Hillary. So if we're going in sheer numbers of people who voted in this country, he's the loser. So you can't fit that to your line.
If that were applied to baseball, Cleveland won the World Series because they had more hits.
Right, and it's not.
But it's where the hits happened.
Right, you're right. I don't understand the analogy exactly, because what we're talking about here is people don't vote on baseball. People, that's an accumulation of points over time.
That's an accumulation of what happened.
In a baseball game. But we're talking about what gives one person a mandate. In a school election, if 10 people vote for one person and 2 people vote for the other, the person who got 10 votes, more people liked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean...
They may not have liked them, but they had a reason to vote.
They had a reason. So right. 3 in this country, out of the total population who voted on November the 8th, 3 million more people voted for Hillary. Now, because of the rules of this country, does that make you president? No. And nobody's saying it does. But if we're talking about person for person, head for head, what did they want in this country? They wanted Hillary. And
there are a lot of people that didn't vote for either.
And that's fine, too.
Purposely did not vote for either.
Right. But when you have the largest protest ever, for the media not to pay attention to that, which is where we started here, would have been silly. But Trump cuts his own throat because on the same day, he goes down to the CIA and tells a lie in front of the wall of people who had died. He sends his press secretary out to lie to the media. You know, that is Richard Nixon's downfall. I hate to say this, but you know what? We did it during the election. When you, Terry, follow me here. When you say Bill Clinton, what's the first thing you think of?
Women.
The women.
Monica
when you
Lewinsky,
when you say Gerald Ford, what's the first thing you think of?
Having been a good president, yet he pardoned Nixon.
Yeah. And most people also think of him falling down and being clumsy.
Yeah.
Now, does
that
him...
That because of Saturday Night Live nonsense.
Right, but does him being... And he did fall down coming out of the plane.
And he hit somebody on the golf course.
Right, but does his clumsiness or Bill Clinton's affairs with women,
when you say Bill Clinton and you say women, why don't you think of leaving office with a surplus, the only president who's done that since Eisenhower?
And he's also, during his time, the laws, the judicial laws were changed considerably, and he put many, many more people in prison for very extended things. We're still trying to get rid of some of that.
Well, right, but now, again, I see we're going into the weeds now. We're talking about when you say a president, what do you remember? Because your contention was that why don't we pay more attention to what Trump is doing in office and not pay so much attention to the silly lies and tweets and things like that? Well, why are we still talking about Bill Clinton's women? Why don't we talk about what he did in office?
That got the most press of anything he did.
And that's right. Because
the Star Report.
Because it is totally out of the ordinary, and it is totally out of the ordinary for a press secretary to blatantly lie about four or five things on a president's first day in office. He should. If that had not happened, it wouldn't have been a story. And nobody would have ever talked about crowd size, and that would have never been a story. And the story would have been Donald Trump. It would have been the story of the protests for a day, but that's it. Then it would have been over. But he keeps fogging that. Yesterday he met with these CEOs. That was the story. But what did he do? He said illegal immigrants voted, and that's why she got more votes than I. Does he know he won the election?
He shouldn't care whether
he shouldn't, but he does.
The only thing that counts.
But he does. You don't care. I don't care. Would never bring it up. But he does.
It still almost seems like his ego still brews.
He's got a self-fulfilling prophecy to knock himself down every time he does something good. He takes one step forward and three steps back.
Backwards.
He has to.
Is it an inferiority complex?
His ego is way out of proportion to what it should be.
And it's hey, and we're going to talk more as the week goes on. I thank you for calling in. It's always interesting, and I hope you enjoyed the program today.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's all the time we have today, so we're going to wrap it up. But thank everybody for listening. What an interesting day it was. And Terry, once again, what's those statistics?
We are the most widely listened to FM. Excuse me, the FMLP station in Marion.
Due to, and where do you get this information?
Like I say, I've compiled some personal data based on, it's a complex formula, but I mean, I can go over it. It's just...
You'll tell anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. On for this day, for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Yeah. Work hours. He was fired in September after a state watchdog said he spent his time at work holding phone calls and sending texts.